Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wholehearted Loving. I'm Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Georgiana.
Today we are going to be talking about adding fuel to painful fires, which is optional. Before we do that, we're going to do a body-based self-connection practice to connect with ourselves before we connect with each other and this podcast.
Mm-hmm. So as usual, let's find that sense of connection to something that we're sitting on or standing on or laying on. And even though I have done this so many times, there are times that I really have to like move around to like wake up that sense of feeling of like, oh yeah, I feel that now. Right. So if you're in that same boat, it's normal. Let's begin by placing a hand somewhere on your upper body that feels good. It's a nice feeling for you. And it might be something that you know immediately feels good, or you might need to take a little bit of time to discover what feels good. Just allowing yourself to enjoy that feel-good feeling for a moment. Often for me, that means, can I pause here for 3 breaths? I'd usually try, can I pause here for 1? And then after that, I ask myself, could I pause here for 2 more? And make it a 3. And then what I want to invite us to do is to, while leaving that top hand there, find a place on your body with the other hand on the bottom half of the body that feels good to offer some touch to. And again, once you find that sense of this either feels neutral or comforting or good, whatever that thing is for you, are you willing to be there and enjoy it for 1 breath? Are you willing to let yourself enjoy it for 2 more? And then seeing as we have 2 hands on our body, if you're open to staying connected right now, I just saw you wiggle your nose in the cutest way, like Sabrina and Bewitched. Can you notice where your 2 hands are? Feel the comfort that that's bringing and enjoy that for a breath or 3. And just finding your own way to come out of that when you're ready.
You know, my self-holding now involves like loving stroking with my thumb the way that I probably used to only do when I was holding other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's nice to hold ourselves the way we hold other people. We often like know it just comes very naturally how we want to hold someone we care about, especially if they're upset. And it's a great practice to do that for ourselves.
It is.
Yeah. I also really like the concept of like, can you let yourself enjoy that for a breath or 3? Because I really find like 1 breath, like, that's doable, right? That's something I think we can all aim at practicing. Can I let myself enjoy something good for 1 extra breath? But the following 2, like, you don't have to want that. You don't have to have capacity to do that. But if it's there, then we get that extra bonus, right? But if it's not, you just practice 1 and then carry on with your life. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Very doable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we like choice as human beings, you know, there's a moment of like, I have to decide. I don't want to do 3 breaths today. Right? Then don't. Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice range of choices. I like choices, but I don't like too many choices. So if it's one breath or three breaths or one more breath, that's really doable and creates no anxiety within me.
We like that. We like options that help us grow and heal and learn new skills that don't create extra anxiety.
Mm-hmm. So these are great tools to have when we're stoking the fires of our fear or anxiety or pain. G has come to us today with a great analogy about firewood. You want to give us a rundown?
Yeah, and I'm going to share this in the context of sadness, but it can really be in the context of any kind of feeling that feels unpleasant to be with. It could be grief, anger, disappointment, rage, frustration, really anything. And it comes from like a very personal place because I was an expert at this at one point in my life. And this analogy really helped me. And I know that it's helped a lot of other people in me sharing. So I thought this was a good place to share a little bit about my experience with firewood and bonfires. So this came to me at a time in my life that I was really struggling. Like, it was a hard time in my life. Things felt emotionally very heavy, very difficult, very challenging. I refer to it as like the cry on the shower floor phase of my life. And I think it happened sort of in conversation with a counselor at the time. And we were talking about how I felt sad about the situation, sad about something that had happened. And my sadness, I knew, was very valid. And I was talking about it and I was feeling it. I think I was crying too. And then I just carried on talking to this person. And I think I noticed it happening, but it was just very not normal for me. So I didn't really think much of it. And I said, and then I also feel sad about this. And I feel sad about this other thing. And this thing that happened last year. And this thing that happened 15 years ago with my mom. And this thing that, you know, like happened last week. And then that made me think of this other thing that made me feel sad. And like, I'm like a sobbing mess at this point. And all of it, I was like, all of these things make me feel sad. And so I think she paused me and she's like, do you notice what's happening? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I feel sad about. And she's like, that's a lot of things. I'm like, well, I feel sad about a lot of things. And I don't think we talked much more. I can't remember what we talked about, but I went home with that thought. And what I realized I was doing, or maybe she said, you know, you seem to be adding a lot of sad things to your story. And I probably left in a huff being like, what do you know? Like, I am sad about these things, you know, like, why are you making a big deal about me being sad about things? But I thought about it and I realized this is what I was doing. Like, if we think about fires and a piece of firewood, and that piece of firewood representing the thing I felt sad about. I think at the time I felt sad about, you know, my partner, like, deciding he didn't want to do this relationship anymore. And that's a legitimate thing to feel sad about. And I was feeling sad about that. And I have this one piece of sadness fire log, firewood, on the fire. And instead of just letting it burn and eventually turning to ash, what I did was, and that time that he did this made me so sad, and the time that he said that, and then when he told me that he wanted this to be forever, and now it's not, and then I feel sad about that, and then all these other things we were meant to do together, and I feel sad about that, and then this reminds me of how it was with that other ex-boyfriend, and then this reminds me of how it was with childhood, and then that friend in elementary school. And I just kept adding more firewood to this fire to the point that it became a huge bonfire. And I realized it didn't have to be a bonfire. The bonfire actually doesn't feel nice. It doesn't feel nice to feel like layers upon layers upon layers of sadness. when I was already feeling sad. And what I learned from that experience was that first thing that I felt sad about is really legitimate. How about just letting myself feel in my body how that feels to feel that sadness without adding on another thing I feel sad about? What if I just let this piece of wood burn out and do its thing? What would happen if I didn't add the next piece of firewood? I was genuinely curious about that. How would it feel? What would my life be like? And what I noticed, like I had a little bit of rebel in me. I was like, oh, I feel like it's almost out. The fire's almost out. I should add another piece. I should think about this other thing that I feel sad about or like wronged by. And like that was a real moment of like, oh, facing self-responsibility of I am creating my own misery in this moment. Like if I don't add another thought, I actually don't feel worse. It feels like, oh, it's done. Even if it's done for one moment, one breath, I was aware enough to notice, oh, it's actually done. But my autopilot was so quick to grab the next piece of firewood and throw it on that it could have been easy to tell myself, oh, it's not done. It's just all the same sadness. Yeah. And so I decided to practice with that and notice that life would be very different if I learned how to just let one piece of fire burn and burn to ash instead of adding more and more. And something that sort of tripped me up was that each piece of, like, I had tons of chopped firewood ready on the go. Like, sad about this, sad about that, sad about this, this and that. Like, all ready in a pile, ready to be thrown onto the fire. And what was, like, tricky for me was, like, thinking these are all legitimate things to feel sad about. I actually feel sad about all those things. If you let me sit and think about and feel each one of those things, they make me feel sad. But what I didn't realize was like, even though they're legitimate things in my life, it's valid to feel sad about those things. I didn't realize that I could choose not to put them on the fire right now.
Yeah.
And if I chose not to put them on the fire right now, I wouldn't feel as crappy.
Yeah. This is that really critical rewiring, because what you're describing is actually part of our brain's defense mechanism, right? And there's a great irony here, because your brain distracts itself from the pain by suggesting different pains that you might want to consider, you know? And then we've just got this bonfire, Georgiana's bonfire of misery.
Yeah.
And it's that choice point. That what we're doing here, doing this work and growing the pause, rewiring our nervous systems to give us some room to remember in this moment, I have a choice.
I didn't know that I had a choice. I didn't know what a choice point meant. And so that was one of the things I had to learn, how to like observe and like look back at past scenarios of like, where did I miss that there was a choice point? Because in everything in life, there's a choice point. Right? Unless there, you know, there's certain things that we don't control, but even when that uncontrollable thing happens, that's a choice point for us. Mm-hmm. Right. So I had to learn how to notice choice points. So
they're not fixed in time, these choice points, right? It's not like it happened and it's gone and we can never choose again, right? Every time we remember, oh, I could choose to not add another log to this fire. I forgot 5 minutes ago and I've been adding logs. I can take them off.
Mm-hmm. And what's neat is like, it's possible that the pile of sadness firewood for me, it all needed time and attention and expression and feeling and healing and holding and witnessing. But I got to choose, like, is it necessary in this moment? Is this the moment for it? Right? I actually noticed that when we pile all those logs on, like you said, the firewood, it just becomes a distraction. I don't actually heal each one of those things. I'm not actually feeling my way through them, allowing myself to witness, noticing what I needed at the time, bringing self-compassion in, right? Noticing if there's anything I need to like ask for repair for with someone. None of that is happening. I'm just feeling really crappy. Right. Yeah. So when I work with people and we work through this, we learn to work with one log at a time and let the body feel it. Let yourself be witnessed in emotion, in your humanness, right? In the expression of what didn't work for you, what didn't feel good for you, in validating that experience. And then learning how to be with the discomfort of the sensation that shows up in the body when that fire log is burning. And then, like you were reminding us before, of like, how do we bring some comfort or something that feels better to this moment so that it helps us watch this log burn? Right? And when I was able to do that a little bit more consistently with a little bit more confidence, life just got a lot better. Because I knew, like, I don't get overrun. I don't get like sunken by sadness. And that's what we hear from people too, is I'm afraid to go to my anger or my sadness or my grief or my disappointment or my frustration because I'm afraid it will drag me down and suck me down and I'll never come out. And we're afraid of that because we only know, or we only think, that we can have a huge bonfire. We can't just work with one log at a time.
Man, this reminds me of, I guess it was probably a couple months ago now, I had a bonfire going, not a literal one, and
An emotional bonfire?
Yeah. I knew that's what was happening, but what my mind was doing, it was like, there's this one problem and it's reminding me of all of these other things that feel painful. And I knew I needed to say those out loud and get them out of my body, which is different than the ruminating I would have done before, right? Before I would have just been piling these logs around me and setting myself on fire. But there was some distance and some space there. So you and I had a call and I was like, can I just share with you all of this stuff that's coming up? And you beautifully listened and probably asked, you know, what else? And it was this nice clearing so that I could get back to the simple feeling of pain of the one log that I had there. And then it became simple and I just needed to wrap myself up in a fuzzy blanket. And like, that was the solution.
I think this is an important distinction between when we feel the need to just get stuff out of our system and be witnessed by someone versus hours and hours of ruminating in our minds, adding one extra log after next, after next. It's a very different bodily experience, and the outcome, the impact is very different. And often I'll say, if you find yourself ruminating a lot, thinking about these things a lot, it's important to try to saying out loud, something I feel sad about right now is. Finish that sentence, pause, feel your butt, notice your body, and then go again, something else I feel sad about right now is. Set yourself a timer, you know, and then it's out of your system. It's, nobody wants to say that stuff out loud for 3 hours, but we're very good at saying that in our heads for 3 hours and making ourselves feel really miserable. So yeah, the internal ruminating bonfire is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And like interaction, we're in relationship with our pain, you know, and our thoughts. And I think how we treat those are so important. And we do have a lot of choice within that when we awaken to ourselves and to the nature of feelings and our, you know, our neurological wiring and the power that we have over that. Is it okay if I add a water-based analogy?
Yes, of course.
So say you've got the thing you're sad about. Let's say it's a bucket full of water. If you empty that bucket from like just above the ground, if you turn the bucket over from a foot above the ground, it's just going to splat, you know? If you lift that bucket up, if you start raising that bucket, if you start elevating, you're ramping yourself up with more and more sadness. And now you're at the top of a building and pouring that same bucket. it's gathered so much steam, it's moving so quickly, and it's gained weight that it's going to injure somebody now. You know, it's gone from a splat to a rushing problem that can really cause some damage.
And so there's the science.
Yeah, all kinds of science. The science of feeling.
The science of feeling. Yeah, you know, so notice what's happening. Even as, you know, we're talking about being witnessed by someone, right? And sharing. I think we'll expand on this in a different episode. But when you share with someone, you were sharing with me, I think I was just listening, you know, and I was just feeling and bringing warmth and presence to you. I wasn't going like, yeah, and like that happened. That was so crappy, Steph. And then do you remember when that also happened? Right. So like I wasn't adding more logs to the fire either for you.
Yeah.
Right. And that makes a huge difference if I'm willing to just let you put the log there in front of me and maybe even tell me about, like, in that case, it wasn't maybe even like adding all these fire logs to the fire. It was, you're like, there's a fire here. There's one log. I have the urge to like dump all the firewood onto this fire and make it huge, but I'm not going to. So I'm going to call Georgiana, talk to her. And it was almost like you gave me a tour of your chopped up firewood for the winter. You're like, these are the things that are on my mind that are bothering me right now. I just want to let you know, just taking an inventory. But we don't have to dump all of those on the fire right now.
Yeah. In fact, good firewood needs to be cured for at least 1 year.
And then doesn't it burn faster and stronger or something?
It burns better. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting too, this analogy. As you were speaking before, I was thinking about like what literally happens to a fire log. So if we're just talking about the one fire log, it burns down to coals, which are hotter and smaller and more fundamental and lower to the ground, you know, and then it turns to ash. And I think there's something in there about, there's the initial whatever's happening for us that is represented by this fire log. Let's say it's sadness. And if we stick with that one fire log, there's a depth to that sadness. It's going to be simpler. There's less story attached to it. It's a feeling. It's a sensation that's simpler and more fundamental. And it might feel hotter, especially when it's unfamiliar to us. And that's like, I don't know how to say it, the death throes of the fire log of the sadness. You know, it burns hotter, and then it burns out.
Well, what's interesting about that is, you know, in my experience, what I noticed is I had a lot of experience hanging out around bonfires, making them and hanging out in them, not in them, but around them. But that didn't leave me feeling empowered in my life. But when I learned how to watch one log in front of me burn, and like get to that coal stage of that burning hot, you know, place, and then slowly turn to ash and see that I'm okay and the fire is out now, that actually felt very empowering. I felt more confident in myself, in my ability to be with fire. Right? Yeah. The huge bonfire was so big, I'm like checked out, but feeling gross. But the one log, I'm like, I can work with one log. It feels scary and uncomfortable, but I can work with one. And really, when we're talking about emotions, I mean, they've done research on this. I can't remember the exact number of seconds. It's a number of seconds that sensation lasts in your body. Like, we're not even talking about a long period of time, but a number of seconds can feel very uncomfortable if we're not used to feeling those sensations. And often we don't recognize it as a number of seconds because we're adding the fire log so quickly. And so it doesn't actually feel like 20 seconds or 40 seconds or whatever it is. It feels like hours, days, weeks.
With no end in sight, right? Like that's the beauty of one log as well. It's like, okay, this has a real finite lifespan. If I could continue, you could burn a fire forever if you wanted to. And that's very overwhelming. There's no end in sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've worked with a lot of people who have been burning fires for decades of their lives and feeling really horrible and ready for a change. And when they practice this, like we see immediate, they report immediate relief. They're like, oh, I just had a moment or a breath or three where there was relief. I haven't had that for, I don't even remember if I've ever felt that kind of relief. And they're shocked at how just focusing on one log can make such a huge difference. But it does.
I remember how irritating that relief felt at first. It was like,
we don't want it. We do, but we don't.
Yeah. I was like, rev me up. Like, let's have some drama. Get involved and embroiled with me. Like,
come,
what do you mean?
Some gasoline on the fire with me.
Yeah, right? Why are you guys even at the bonfire if you didn't bring gasoline? I don't trust it. It's too easy.
Yeah, I definitely felt that. I was like, it's getting less. I'm feeling better. I must need more fire to put on, fire log to put on this fire.
But what a relief. Mm-hmm. And I can still, you know, there's still part of my old machinery that can feel that way, but it's paired with the new machinery that knows, oh, this is relief. Like, I can enjoy the relief.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing, is to notice what relief feels like. And then to get to a place where you're like, I want to enjoy relief. I can enjoy relief, and I can't, and I want to. And when I think about why I felt so pulled when things started to settle, when we're like going from coal to ash and I feel that discomfort in my body, why I want to add more logs is like, if I think about family of origin, childhood, there was always a fire burning. Like there's always something going on that there's tension in the home. So I'm very familiar with that feeling of there's just a fire going. Don't let it burn out, because our, you know, this is how our family works. There's always a fire going. Yeah. So in adulthood, like I didn't actually know what it felt like when there's no fire burning. It felt more comfortable to always have a fire burning. It's like, oh, this log's about to burn out. Better add another one. And that was my relationship with sadness.
Yeah, totally. This is why our program is called Priming the Body for Peace, because we need new training in these areas as a society, as individuals. It's really uncommon for relief and peace to be the standard, and we need to rewire for that. I'm so glad we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. So the invitation is for you to notice, how does it feel when one log is burning? Do you notice when you start adding new logs? What does your bonfire feel like, sound like? Right? And are you willing to practice letting one log burn out? Are you willing to practice letting someone witness you and support you, sitting across from you, watching that one log burn out? Right? Do you call on people to say, bring the gasoline?
Instead, bring marshmallows, which I think brown best over the coals. So you're going to have to leave just the one log, let the coals arise. And, you know, this is a good analogy for being with, you know, you can not add logs. You can instead be intending to roast marshmallows. Just got to be with this discomfort while we're waiting.
Yeah. Enjoy your marshmallows.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to say about bonfires?
I think that's it. I think I really just wanted to give you all an opportunity to get familiar with your relationship with fires and adding fire logs and creating bonfires, and notice whether you're ready to bring a little change to that.
Thanks, Gigi. Is there a closing practice that you're feeling?
My hands are just naturally taking us there, which is just taking the palms of the hand and using them to add pressure or some type of soothing movement to the legs. Right. So for me, I'm like pushing down a little bit and like turning the palms of my hand in circles, and it's making a really nice sensation for my body, for my legs. And then I impulsively want to like make circles around my knees. That always feels very comforting for me.
I can picture you doing that. Neat. Good grounding to connect with the legs.
Okay.
Thanks, Gigi.
All right.
We did good doing a shorty today.
We did.
Okay. Well, then that's going to finish us off for today. And we'll see you guys next week. As always, please do like, follow, and subscribe. And if anything we've said here today has been helpful for you, please share with somebody that you care about. See you next time.
Bye.